This is the Rethinking Learning Podcast. I'm Barbara Bray. Welcome to my conversations on learning with inspirational educators, leaders, and change agents. Welcome, everyone, to the Rethinking Learning Podcast. This is Barbara Bray. I'm really excited today. I have someone from Toronto, Canada here, Sylvia Duckworth. I love you, Sylvia. I'm so glad you're here.
Happy to be here, Barb.
Well, I'm going to tell my audience a little bit about you first. Sylvia is an avid sketchnoter, an AIM French teacher and tech coach, a Google-certified innovator, a trainer, Apple teacher, and Apple Distinguished Educator with more than 30 years of teaching experience in the public and independent school system. You know, I've known Sylvia, I can't even remember how many years now, virtually through social media and face-to-face, got some lucky selfies at several conferences. You know, Sylvia, it's a great honor to share your story. Welcome.
Thank you, Barb. Great to see you again.
I know. See, a lot of people don't know that I do these podcasts in Zoom, and so we get to look at each other, but I really love it that we can at least get to know each other a little bit better this way. There's a lot about you, that I love to have you share. I see all the wonderful pictures you put up of your family and your own story and your travels. Can you give us a little background about you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So in your introduction, you mentioned I've been teaching for more than 30 years, and I've just recently retired. I don't know if you know that, Barb.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I just decided we have this wonderful program up here in Canada, at least in my province, and it's when you combine your age with your years teaching and they add up to 85, it's called the 85 factor, then you can retire on full benefits, full pension. So my number came up this year, came up in April, and I decided to go for it. So I've been retired since July. It's pretty nice. That's why I've been doing so much traveling, actually. I've had the freedom to travel a lot more now. So that's my teaching. I've been teaching mostly French. In Canada, we have two official languages, French and English, and I have been a French teacher for most of my career. The past year, my last year teaching, I did have a 30% role as a tech coach at my school. The past 21 years, I've been teaching at a wonderful school called Crescent School in downtown Toronto. It's a boys-only school, so I've been teaching only boys for the past 21 years, grades 3 to 6. They've been a lot of fun to teach. I don't miss them yet, but I suspect I might miss them eventually. It hasn't happened just yet. I have two lovely daughters. One's 27. Her name is Alana. The other one's 25. Her name is Lauren. And Lauren is a teacher, and she's just finished a year in Australia supply teaching, and now she's in New Zealand. And my daughter Alana is in media. And then I have a husband, Steve. So that's a bit about my family.
Oh, I've been following you. I didn't know you retired. I think that's amazing.
You must have wondered, how did she get to travel so much if she's working full time? But it's been a really busy fall. Barb, I've been to Moscow, and I've been to Australia. I've been to Singapore. I've been invited to these wonderful conferences. Now that people know I'm retired, they're inviting me to these conferences. So it's been great.
Oh, it's a whole new life for you now.
It is. It is. It's wonderful.
Oh, I love it. So, you know, it's funny. You look so darn young. It's hard to believe you've been doing this as long as that. And I'm older than you, but I don't know if I'll ever retire, but you will never retire completely.
Yeah, correct. Yes. So I guess I've retired from teaching full time, but I'm still quite active in the attending conferences and whatnot, and on social media. So yeah, I'm not exactly retired in the full sense of the word retired, for sure.
I know. I just know you because you're so creative and there's so many things you do. And you have beautiful daughters, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Barbara.
Yes. It's just fun to see the pictures. So, and you know, this bit about creativity. It just means so much for you. And why does creativity matter so much?
Well, there's many different reasons. Personally, it's just my happy place. When I'm creating something, it's my happy place. So I love to sketch note, but I also love to knit. I love to macrame. I love doing things with my hands, and I just feel like I could do it all day long. That's really what it calms me down. It just makes me really happy. And I decided to turn this around and make my classroom into more of a creative classroom, so that teaching French, I would start off with a class, maybe teaching 10 minutes of whatever I want to teach for that day, and then I'd let them go off and create something with whatever I taught them, and mostly creating with technology. So I find that I've been able to turn that philosophy from my love of creativity personally into my classroom as well. And it's completely changed the atmosphere of my class. Like, the students were loving coming to class, learning French, and then going off and using these structures that I taught them in French into projects that they would create with technologies to showcase their learning. And my last few years of teaching was a real joy.
Oh, I bet. Especially since you do so much with technology.
Right.
I tried doing you were teaching me a little bit about sketchnoting. Mm. What got you into sketchnoting? How did that happen?
Well, it happened about 3 years ago, Barbara. I started to notice these really beautiful drawings on social media related to education. I found out they were called sketchnotes, and so I decided to give it a try. And I stopped drawing when I was a child. Like, I last did any kind of artwork probably when I was about 10 years old. I just decided I wasn't very good at it. And then I tried again 3 years ago, drawing on my iPad, and rediscovered my love of drawing.
Only 3 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I am so impressed. I mean, I have your book, Sketch Notes for Educators, and I'm lucky you did some sketch notes for us when we did our book. And I still don't get it, how you do some of these.
Yeah. Well, I do workshops now on sketchnoting. I've done 2 full day sketchnoting workshops, one with the EdTech team. We did one with Holly Clark, and I did one in Singapore. And then most recently, I was with a group of teachers in Edmonton, a full day of sketchnoting. And I start off the day with fun drawing challenges to get the teachers in the mood for drawing. And I ask them to access their inner child. And remember, like, everyone has children or teaches children. If you have children under 10 years old or teach children under 10 years old, you realize that they love to draw. And something happens to us as we grow old. We lose that love of drawing. I don't know what happens, but... So the beginning of my workshop, we play games, and we try to get into that mindset where drawing is fun and it's not something to be afraid of. And everyone can draw. Absolutely everyone can draw. It's just a matter of, you know, what skill level you want to draw at. But it's been a lot of fun doing these sketchnoting workshops. A lot of fun. And the thing that I love is when teachers walk away at the end of the day going, I can draw. I didn't know that I can draw, but everyone can draw.
I need to take one of your workshops.
Yeah.
One thing I've looked at is you have videos up. You're so generous. You give so much away on sharing how to do these. And you're using the program called Procreate now.
It's an app that I draw with on the iPad. There's a number of apps out there. Procreate is the one I like the most, but there's lots of apps out there. Procreate does cost money, but there's features of it. Like, have you seen my the videos that from the beginning of my sketchnote to the end of my sketchnote when I'm drawing, when it shows the drawing? So if you look at my YouTube channel, just Google Sylvia Duckworth YouTube, and then I have a playlist of live sketchnoting.
Oh, cool.
And you can see me drawing a keynote from beginning to end using the Procreate app. So it has that feature. So one of the features on the app is that you can export your drawing as a video, and it takes it from the beginning to the very end.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I make a blog post that goes along with this. Maybe we can embed that in so people can see what you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
And then link back to where your website. You have a wonderful website. You put things up on Flickr, and you have so many resources that you share. And I'm going to really push your book, Sketch Notes for Educators.
Because thank you, Barbara.
I just love it. I even wrote a review, and you put my review in, so you make me feel really special.
But what people don't realize with the book, too, there's links to all of my drawings that they can download as posters and share them with friends and colleagues and students, put them up on the wall. So it's a real feature of that book, I think.
That's really wonderful. I mean, the idea that people can take the book and also have access to the drawings is very, very generous. And you know, people look at your drawings and they see them on Twitter, and the next thing, it's viral. Anytime I put anything up that's yours, it goes out and everyone says retweets it. You know that, right?
You know, sketchnoting has really taken off in the past couple of years. You probably noticed too. Like mm-hmm. if you go on Twitter and just use the hashtag sketchnotes or sketchnoting, so many people are doing it now. It's fantastic. And when they bring it into the classroom and allow their students to sketchnote, that's even better, because it's proven to be a very effective way to take notes and to organize their thoughts and to put their ideas on paper with the visual cues of some kind of a drawing.
Well, there's a whole thing on visual thinking.
Yes.
And so this just takes it a little farther. Some use, flip charts. But if you're actually using your iPad and you're doing this, and kids can collaborate on it, it's even better.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's analog sketchnoting and there's digital sketchnoting. So depending on the devices you have as a teacher, you might want to just do analog sketchnoting with your students.
Well, all I know is we're going to have to put a list of the next workshops you have so people can sign up. I bet there's going to be a lot of people that said, I wish I knew how to do that, and they'll want to follow you on that. Well, one of my favorite, you had a PowerPoint, you've had a presentation, was the one on the talent myth.
Mm-hmm.
I just, that whole idea of it, because she's talented, she can do it. Mm. Right? But it is not talent. All of us have, like you said, we can all draw if we're given those opportunities.
Right. So let me tell you a little something about the talent myth. It's one of the keynotes I love to do when I go to conferences. And it's the ideas that it's actually based on a book that I read by Matthew Syed. It's called Bounce, The Secret of Success. And his premise is that there is no such thing as natural talent, and that anyone can achieve talent in an area of their choosing, so long as certain preconditions are met. So his premise is that we can develop talent in any area if we put our mind to it. And you've seen the iceberg illusion, my drawing.
Remember, I used it. Remember?
Right. So that also, I have to talk briefly about the iceberg illusion. It's been crazy how popular that one is. It's all over the place. And one day my daughter said to me, Mom, your iceberg illusion drawing is at the top of Reddit. I don't even know what Reddit is.
Oh, it's very popular.
Trending on Reddit. Yeah. This was a few months ago, and I said, you're kidding me. But that iceberg illusion, so the top of it is success, and then underneath it is the things we don't see that goes into achieving success. So the hard work, the determination, you know, the sacrifice, things like that. So I refer to that in my talent myth keynote as well. Like people who achieve talent in a certain area, they get there through other means. It's not necessarily through any innate talent that they have, that they were born with. And that's something I like to remind teachers as well in my mm-hmm. sketchnote workshops, that you can learn to draw. You just have to put your mind to it.
Well, it's that growth mindset. Well, we have so many, you probably know, teaching boys, sometimes they'll say, no, I can't draw. Mm-hmm. Or you have some people that will say, I can't do math. It's that growth mindset and fixed mindset idea. And the same with the talent myth is, I don't have any talents, kind of. We have to change all those mindsets.
Right. But I think it's our role as teachers to help our students find those talents as well. Like we need to give them those opportunities to develop talents in lots of different areas and not just focus on, you know, written skills or mathematical skills, like broaden the perspective of the ways that our students can explore and discover their own talents.
Well, it's interesting when you said you hadn't drawn since you were 10.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have the iPad, would that have made it? I mean, did that make a difference for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love everything technology. You know, I'm a real tech geek, and being able to draw on the iPad just made it that much more interesting for me. But there's also, on the iPad, you can zoom in when you're doing your drawings. And so you can get into the finer details by zooming in. And I can't draw on paper because I can't zoom in. So I find that it's actually a lot easier drawing on the iPad than it is on paper.
Well, it's interesting. I love to read, but I have trouble now because of my eyesight and stuff. So when I'm on the iPad, I can enlarge.
Zoom in.
I can zoom in, or I can just take a and go back and find, you know, it's just, I can highlight.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying sketchnoting. And well, you've seen me try. It's not as good as yours. So I have to take the liberty of actually experimenting drawing. I've been using other people's pictures, and
right.
Now I got to do what you do. And
well, Holly Clark and I are developing an online course for sketchnoting right now, and we've been working on that, and we're looking to launch it sometime in the new year.
Well, I'm signing up. I love Holly so this will be fun. So, you know, you have this passion. It comes out. And how do you maintain your passion for teaching? I mean, it's what we want is we want to exude that passion so our kids are that way. But now that you're working with adults, how do you get them so they're passionate about what they do?
Okay, well, let's just work back on that question. My family are always amazed at how much I love my job. I just recently retired, but at the end of the day, we'd get together, we'd talk about each other's days, and you know, they'd share their days, and they'd say to me, "Mom, how was your day?" And I'd say, "I had a great day today," and I'd tell them all about my day. And I think that is, a lot of teachers feel the same way, but a lot of teachers don't feel the same way about their job. And I have to say that I think one of the secrets to maintaining my passion for teaching has been this growth mindset that you talked about, and always wanting to try something different and not relying on teaching the same way year after year after year after year. And the best way to get those ideas to maintain your passion for teaching is on social media. And so I found that since I joined Twitter, I'd say about 10 years ago, the ideas that I get from Twitter, the resources, the connections I make with teachers from all around the world, that has really been key to maintaining my passion the past decade of teaching, because there's always something new to try with your students. You'll never get bored with teaching. If you get on social media, you make these connections, and you've got so many things to try with your students. You don't have to rely on teaching the same way year after year after year.
It's so funny because most of the people that I'm talking to in the podcast, I've met on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I met you.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Really. And then when we meet in person, it's like we've known each other forever. And
I know.
It's been really fun. And so I am addicted. I don't want to say I'm addicted to it, but I just don't want to. I miss it if I'm not on and see what's going on. But I also, like you're saying, I learn so much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, there's the Twitter chats, but there's also people that are very generous and sharing their resources. If they put a blog up, then they link to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lists.
Mm-hmm.
And I use Twitter that different than I use Facebook. I don't know if that's the same with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On Facebook, when I get friend requests, I actually have to know the person. Like I have to have some kind of connection with them instead of just like some random person who might know someone who might know me, but I feel badly sometimes when I get Facebook requests to friend and I don't friend them because I've never actually met them and I don't have any context for how I might know them. But on Twitter, it's a lot more open. Like on Twitter, it's like you can follow just about anyone. Facebook, you know, I have my personal, I've got my family pictures and everything I don't necessarily like to share with the world.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Facebook is more family. I'm putting my even my granddaughter up there, and you know, I don't really want them. I mean, I got one request, and I thought it was someone I knew, and then found out it was not the kind of person I really wanted in my life. Where Twitter, just like you said, it's really for my, it's almost like my education. I'm learning. It's my professional learning network.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I love it. It's to me, I find when I'm looking at what you're doing and now that you're retired and you're traveling, are you going to have a lot more traveling in the next year?
Yeah, it's already starting to get busy. I'm going to New Zealand in April. I'm going to Seattle for a 4-day conference in February, which I'm really excited about. So I'm going to Florida for another conference. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, I went to New Zealand around the same time last year.
You did.
Isn't
that a great country?
Oh, it's amazing. And but it is going into winter, you know, there.
Yeah, I'll be there in April. Yeah, you're right. It'll be going into their winter.
So I was there in beginning of May, and it was beautiful. It didn't matter. It was beautiful. Oh, I'm so happy you're going.
Yeah, we'll have excited.
Follow up. You said your daughter is in Australia, or is she?
She's in New Zealand now. So she was in Australia for a year, and she had a working permit for a year, and she had to either work on a farm for 3 months or leave the country. So she chose to leave the country. She's in New Zealand now. She's at a yoga retreat volunteering.
Oh, my gosh. So you'll see her while you're there.
Oh,
that's wonderful. Well, is there anything else you'd like to share that you're doing? Because I don't even know now what you're up to.
No, I think we covered it all. Thank you for talking about my book. And I was happy to be able to let people know about the sketchnoting course that's going to be online in the new year. So maybe there is a link I can give you on how people can sign up if they want to get more information on it. You know, I'm open to, if there are teachers out there listening, if you want to have me come into your school to do a sketchnoting workshop, I'd be happy to do that as well.
Well, you know what I'll do, Sylvia, is that we'll pull all this together in the blog post, and we'll even put the iceberg graphic in there also. I know people love it. And we'll put all the links and maybe the link to the course the eventual course that you and Holly are going to be doing, because I'm going to be signing up first. I won't let anyone else in there first.
Okay. This was
just wonderful. What an exciting life. It's like a whole new adventure for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll end up doing a podcast like you, Barb.
I'd love it. I'd love to. I'll be on it.
Yeah.
Share it with you.
You'll be my first guest.
I love this. This is so wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking some time out of your travels and your new life to be with me today. This was wonderful.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking me, Barbara.
You are welcome.
Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning podcast and my conversation with Sylvia Duckworth. So make sure you visit BarbaraBray.net to learn more about Sylvia and her sketchnoting and all the wonderful things that are going to be on the complimentary blog post. You see, these conversations are all part of a bigger picture to transform education. I invite you to leave a review on iTunes and share or retweet the post on Twitter using the hashtag Rethink_learning. Please subscribe to the podcast and the website at BarbaraBray.net so you can join the conversations.